With the power of Tandem HR, you are in the fast lane on Main Street with Get Down to Business with Shalom Klein, the show for business and jobs. Now, the champion of networking, the advocate of jobs, the guru of business, your host, Shalom Klein.
We are all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship and business. We talk a lot about business here. You're on with Get Down to Business, and I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always get on my website, shalomklein.com. That's where you can download podcasts from this show. Find out who's going to be on next week on the show that's all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. While you're there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at Shalom Klein. Get Down to Business is powered by our good friends at Tandem HR, your solution center. You can find them at TandemHR.com or give them a call, 630-928-0510. We've got a great lineup of guests that and a lot of information, lots of tips, advice for the business community this week. You don't want to miss a minute of it. Chicago, don't touch that dial. First up on the program, I've got Brad Cole from the Illinois Municipal League. And municipalities are trying to work together to drive more efficiencies that would maintain the health of local governments that are crucial to Illinois economy. Brad, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So you're working with mayors across the state and calling for some necessary solutions that frankly can't be deferred any longer. Tell us a little bit about some of the initiatives that you're working with small and large communities across our great state of Illinois on.
Well, right. The issues that we deal with here at the Illinois Municipal League do range for the small towns to the big cities. And what we're trying to do is lay out an agenda of some ambitious programs that are really common sense to try to help local governments so that they can ease off on local business and provide services and programs for their residents, the taxpayers of their cities in the state. And we have a number of legislative proposals that we put out there to try to allow more flexibility at the local level, give local government and local elected officials a chance to try to support their communities.
And these are things that mayors have been advocating for years. And of course, we've got an awful, awful budget impasse in Springfield, which isn't helping things. But these are issues and priorities that really affect all of us. We all live in the communities represented by mayors that are members of the Illinois Municipal League. So what are the priorities of the Moving Cities Forward agenda and coalition?
Well, we have a number of things, and these are not just solely beneficial for local government. In many cases, they do impact small business and large businesses, and the issues along those lines are reforming some structural issues with public pensions, which of course puts the financial burden on the taxpayer and local businesses, but also addressing arbitration reform, which deals with contracts that local governments enter into, prevailing wage, which is an impact on particularly small projects that local governments are wanting to do around their communities for infrastructure repairs, or even general maintenance like landscaping, and workers' compensation reforms. So these are things that we've been talking about for many years, and the business community has been talking about, especially workers' compensation reforms, for a long, long time. Also eliminating the seemingly endless unfunded mandates that are put on local governments. And I think the biggest thing that we try to explain to people at the Illinois Municipal League is that when state government pushes something down to the local government, it's still the same person paying the bill. It's the citizen, the taxpayer, that has to pay the bill. Maybe the bill doesn't go to the state, but the bill goes to the local government, and somebody has to pay it.
Absolutely. And you're right that the business community, along with local government, have been talking about workers' compensation reform. And I know that the governor has been talking about workers' compensation reform as well. But it's time to get these things to the finish line. And it's great to see a group of mayors getting together to advocate for this. But something that's been spoken about a lot is the local revenue sources. And right now, state government has a little bit, perhaps too much control, a little bit too much involvement in the fund distribution. And at a time of a budget impasse like we have here in Illinois, it's time for a major policy reform. Tell us how that would benefit local communities across the state of Illinois.
Well, we have two things that are kind of along those lines. One is we'd like to see the automatic appropriation of local funds. Right now, the state collects a number of local funds, and they're basically pass-through. So if the sales tax is paid locally, it's collected by the state and then distributed back to the municipality. Motor fuel tax, casino gaming fees, those things. So the first of the two is that we'd like to see those local funds be automatically appropriated back to the local government. Just last year, in this current fiscal year, but at the end of 2015, the state held those resources for 6-7 months before they were released. And that has a serious and negative impact on the local communities because they can't provide for what those dollars go to. And in most cases, that's public safety, could be keeping the roads clear if, in storm and bad weather. It could be any number of things, and also keeping the 911 dispatch centers open. So the first is that we'd like to see the automatic appropriation of those local funds so that they don't get holed up if there is a problem at the state. And that's what we have with this impasse right now. Our money just goes into a hole, and it sits there until they decide to release it. Now, they did release it in December, and so we're happy about that, but we shouldn't have to fight for it every year. The second issue is an expansion of home rule eligibility, and home rule is allowed for communities over 25,000 in population or if they adopted by referendum. And we'd like to see that population threshold reduced to 5,000. That's where the state has said a lot of other things kick in for a community. And so let's look at putting a question on the ballot, let people decide if the home rule eligibility should be lowered from 25,000 to 5,000. That allows a community to do a lot of additional things, some of it on revenue, some of it on regulation, some of it just autonomy. Mm-hmm. And so those are the two big issues that we'd like to see the state kind of step out of the middle on and allow more local decisions to be made and more local authority.
We're chatting with Brad Cole, the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, and the IML, the Illinois Municipal League, is the statewide organization representing local communities throughout Illinois. And you are working diligently for the benefit of the municipalities in Illinois. Brad, how many municipalities are there in the state?
There are 1,297 municipalities in Illinois.
Fascinating. And your governing board is, of course, the mayors and the village presidents of small towns, large towns. So certainly a diverse set of priorities. And you just talked, Brad, about a little bit about the home rule eligibility. Right now, it's municipalities in excess of 25,000 residents. You're looking to include communities of 5,000 residents and above. And so right now, how many governments in the state meet that criteria for home rule governments? And if passed, what would that expansion elevate that number to?
Sure. So out of the 1,297 communities in Illinois, there are 211 that are currently home rule. If this population change was adopted at the ballot box by the people of Illinois and incorporated as a constitutional amendment, it would allow for an additional 173 communities. And that's the number of communities that are in the range between 5,000 and 25,000 that could automatically become home rule. So some of those current communities adopted a referendum, and some of them are very small, but they adopted the referendum to be home rule on their own. But we're looking at less than 400 of the total number of communities in the state that would be eligible. And like I said, the state of Illinois has already said that at 5,000 population, cities have to do certain additional things that other communities don't. And so we're just using their number as a starting point. And this allows more local decisions to be made by the people that are in constant contact with their residents. So when you see the alderman or the mayor walking up and down the street or at the dry cleaners or the grocery store, you can have your direct input to them and the decisions they're making. And we think those are decisions that are better made at the local level than at the state level in the General Assembly.
Well, when we look at the current situation of the state, state legislators, elected officials are seemingly having trouble getting jobs to the finish line, getting projects to the finish line, while local government mayors across the state of Illinois are making decisions, as you said, that are directly impacting the lives of the residents, and they're certainly more closely in touch with those needs. So Brad Cole, Executive Director of the Illinois Municipal League, we appreciate you coming on. Running out of time, but how can our listeners find out more about the Moving Cities Forward initiative and learn a little bit more about the IML?
Well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to be on here and talk about some of these issues. And, you know, people should be concerned about what we're dealing with. We represent the communities represent the residents. If they go to our website, which is iml.org. They can access our legislative agenda, the Moving Cities Forward, any number of levels of information about the things that we provide on our legislative and legal services to local units of government.
Fantastic. Well, Brad, thanks again for joining us. We'll be sure to follow these issues carefully. Get Down to Business is brought to you in part by Everett Wealth Solutions, a registered investment advisor and financial planning firm, a fiduciary advisor that helps you create your personal financial wealth. Call them 708-771-7777. More tips, advice after the break. You're listening to Get Down to Business.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss. We'll look at the roadways. Lakeshore Drive heading northbound, heavy between Balboa and Jackson. Southbound lanes heavy between North Avenue and Chicago Avenue. Also pretty heavy between Roosevelt and the Stevenson Expressway. On the Stevenson heading outbound from Lakeshore Drive to Cicero, it's 17 minutes. The Tri-State takes 31 out to 355 is 41 minutes. And on the outbound Eisenhower, from the post office to Mannheim is 43 minutes, to Thorndale just under an hour. Kennedy heading outbound heavy between Fullerton and Harlem, downtown to the junction 19 to O'Hare 36. Express lanes are about 15. Looking at temperatures tonight, 52 degrees and clear skies. Tomorrow, 75 and partly cloudy. Currently, it's 73 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Senate Bill 3267 would introduce electronic driver tracking and charge you per mile that you drive.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
They're so desperate for money. What's next? Are they going to tax the air we breathe?
This is government at its best, taking blood from your left arm to infuse it into your right arm and spilling half of it on the ground.
We are really broke.
Start your day with Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
How big is your retirement shortfall? Will your money last as long as you do? How will inflation impact your retirement? How will taxes affect your income and cash flow? These are the questions that keep millions of Americans just like you up at night. Begin your journey towards financial freedom and view their comprehensive retirement planning seminar on demand, 24 hours a day. Visit EverettWealthSolutions.com and see why so many people are calling this a life-changing experience for their retirement plans. That's EverettWealthSolutions.com.
CARES is a nonprofit social service organization who values the importance of human resource needs. CARES provides an oasis of acceptance and support to women facing unplanned pregnancy. As a nonprofit, CARES has limited resources, but by partnering with Tandem HR, they have access to so much more. If you need time to focus on running and growing your organization, call Tandem HR.
Tandem HR serves as your one-stop high-touch HR solution. Call 630-928-0510 or visit TandemHR.com.
Attention, this is an investor notice. Are you interested in making some extra cash buying real estate tax liens? Then listen to this. The Government Tax Lien Network is offering a free tax lien kit, which contains two DVDs and a step-by-step report that will show you how to earn guaranteed returns between 15 and 35% yearly, which is completely secured by the government. They'll even show you how to do this inside your own retirement accounts. So if you're looking to become a real estate investor without risk, then call 1-800-597-9234 now to get your free tax lien kit. Then get ready to buy tax liens for pennies on the dollar and buy houses for as low as $500, all from your home with little or no money, working only 5 to 10 hours per week. Call 800-597-9234 right now to get your free tax lien kit plus two free tickets to a live training event, which includes a free meal, coming to the Chicago area. Call 800-597-9234. That's 800-597-9234 for your free tax lien kit now. Individual results may vary.
AM 560, The Answer.
We
We are all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. Business, we talk a lot about business here. Gone with Get Down to Business, joined over the phone with Dr. William Katz, the director of the Borges Sleep Disorder Center in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And, you know, I've been giving a lot of thought to this. With daylight savings time starting, it means that the sun will be up an hour later in the morning, and for workers that typically might be getting up in the dark, starting their preparations for their workday, or starting work while it's dark out, I'm wondering, is there effect on work habits? Dr. Katz, welcome to the program. Curious to hear your thoughts on how daylight savings time affects workplace productivity.
Well, at this time of year, we actually lose an hour, right? So we're moving the clock ahead. We're actually losing an hour of sleep. We've traded an hour of daylight in the morning for an hour of daylight in the evening. And so people are going to work typically sleepier than they normally are until they readjust and readapt. And that alone will change their ability to concentrate, their attentiveness, and ability to do tasks can be affected. So because of this loss of an hour, less sleep does have an effect. When it's dark out, we're supposed to be sleeping. And here we are waking up at times that we usually don't wake up, and we're shortchanging ourselves. We have an internal clock that doesn't change, even though we've changed the clock time. And that clock, our circadian rhythm, which regulates sleep among many other biologic activities, doesn't change for us, you know, just because we decide that it's time to move the clock ahead.
Well, Dr. Katz, you're board certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine in pulmonary disease and sleep medicine, and it's interesting to watch the effect of sleep on business. We go through this every year. Every year, the clock has changed, and as you said, Doctor, we lose an hour of sleep. How long does it take for an individual, in this case a professional, to adjust to that new sleep rhythm and schedule?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little bit variable. You know, there's so much individual variability. You know, a gross rule of thumb that some people will use will say, you know, for every hour, one day. But some people, it could take up to 2 weeks to get reacclimated to this simple, what seems to be a simple one-hour time change. So somewhere in that range, the great majority of people are going to fall. Most will be less than that two-week maximum. But usually a few days. And what people can do to help that, of course, is make sure they maintain good sleep habits and what's called sleep hygiene, things they can do to help themselves sleep, get enough sleep, and then get themselves exposed to light, since light exposure is our single most important external environmental cue that helps us stay awake and alert and functioning.
So what tips do you have for employers at this time of year to help their employees adjust during this time of losing an hour of sleep? You mentioned light, which is important. Are there anything that maybe a boss or a HR manager can be doing in the workplace to help?
Short of letting people get more sleep, come in a little bit later.
But, I like that.
Yeah. But, you know, a well-lit environment, of course, is important. And you know, and that's probably the single most thing that they can do. Trying to make sure, and it's not their job, people have to police themselves and make sure they don't shortchange themselves and get enough sleep and try to make up for that hour that was lost as quickly as they can, meaning adapt as quickly as they can by readjusting their times when they go to sleep and then get out of bed. But light therapy is used a lot to help with disorders that are induced in the internal clock, the circadian rhythm. So exposure to light is very important and it's probably the single most important thing that can be done.
We're chatting with Dr. William Katz, the director of the Borges Sleep Disorder Center in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Dr. Katz is very involved in sleep medicine. He's had two fellowships, one in pulmonary disease at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., a second one in sleep medicine at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, and knows a thing or two about sleep. I wish I knew more about sleep. I wish I was able to spend more time resting. I, like many of our listeners, I'm a workaholic, and sometimes I might overdo it. Doctor, is there a recommended number of hours of sleep that you think professionals or really anybody should be getting on the average night?
Okay, and again, you know, there is individual variability, but if I for adults, you know, I think if you said somewhere between 7 to 9 hours, 7 to 8.5 hours, that's probably a good place to start. Some people, of course, get by with 6 hours, and some need a little more, might need 10 hours. But if you use that 7 to 8, 7 to 8.5, 9 hours of sleep is probably sufficient for the great majority of people. And people that, you know, fall way outside of the bell-shaped curve, you know, who get by on you know, 5, 6 hours, less than 6 hours, they're outliers. They might do well, but you can't look at them and compare yourself to them.
And doctor, so do you think it's possible to recharge during the weekend for the week prior, or get ready for the week ahead for those that might be sleeping 5, or might I be so bold to say less hours a night? Donald Trump, not to bring him into this conversation, but I know he's mentioned that he only sleeps very, very few hours a night. Do you think it's possible to sleep over the weekend 12, 15 hours, and that would be sufficient to charge your batteries for the past week?
Not really. You build up what's called a sleep debt, and you never make it up, because it's a debt that accumulates over time. So, sleeping twice as much as what might be a normal amount of sleep doesn't make up for what you didn't do on Monday or Tuesday. So not really. And it doesn't change how tired you were as you wandered through your week either. So you don't build it up only to you know, use it down the road. So that's really not going to help you a whole lot. Just sleep a decent amount on the weekend, recharge your own battery for that day, for the weekend, and go about your normal activities. But during the week, you're not going to take care of the week by sleeping later on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, everybody wants to be productive. Everybody wants to squeeze as much in, whether it's professionally or personally. Everybody wants to spend as much time traveling and doing all their excursions with family, or squeezing in another meeting in their workday. What we're hearing from Dr. Katz, again, the director of the Borges Sleep Disorder Center in Kalamazoo, Michigan, is that you need to watch out for yourself, and you need to get some rest in. But doctor, final question for you. I'm wondering if there are things that everybody should be doing to avoid distractions when you go to sleep. Is it necessary to turn off the TV or put away smartphones or other devices before bed? How long before bed? What tips do you have around that?
Okay, well, sleep hygiene just is a general term that refers to things you can do to help yourself sleep. We like to tell people in the, say, 30 to 45 minutes, 30 to 60 minutes prior to your chosen bedtime, you just start winding down and just getting things, just taking it easy and relaxing. No, you know, avoiding stimulating things. Just read or listen to some music. Turn the lights a little dimmer. Promotes more melatonin release to help you get drowsy. Stop doing work for that you brought home with you, and just relax. And that's just preparing for sleep. Some people might want to take a warm bath to help them relax, and that's fine. But anything you can do to relax. And then, yeah, I think it's important. The electronics, you know, is kind of out of control, and people have turned the bedroom into a family room with more stuff in the bed with them, between phones and tablets and computers and the TV's on, and there's all this external stimuli going on, which is going to interfere with sleep.
It absolutely
just doesn't allow for sleep to take place. So,
well, Dr. Katz, we're going to have to leave it there. We're running out of time.
Okay.
How can our listeners find out more about the Borges Sleep Center?
Well, you can get onto the website at sleep.borges.com and find out more about our sleep center and more about sleep information.
We appreciate your time. Would love to continue the conversation. Fascinating discussion about how professionals should be getting ready to lose an hour of sleep and sleep better for the workplace. You're listening to Get Down to Business, the show that's all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. We've got more for you after the break.
For the Republican nomination is racing towards the convention this summer in Cleveland.
Nobody is going to have enough delegates. We are going to go to a convention. It's going to be open.
Can Trump be stopped?
The only campaign that has beat Donald Trump and the only campaign that can beat Donald Trump is this campaign.
Will there be a third party run?
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud.
What happens next?
We should make it pretty easily based on what I'm seeing.
Happens here.
So we won't have to worry about fighting at a convention.
This is AM 560. The answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. After a 7.8 magnitude earthquake leveled parts of Ecuador, at least 246 people are now dead, some 1,500 hurt, many still missing.
Ecuador's president has declared a state of emergency and sent 10,000 members of the military and thousands of police officers to the hardest hit areas. Landslides are keeping many first responders from getting to the towns near the epicenter, where survivors say homes were flattened like pancakes and say they continue to hear people screaming from under the rubble.
Fox's Will Carr. Donald Trump expressing concern about his supporters' reaction if the nomination is, in his words, stolen from him.
I hope it doesn't involve violence, and I don't think it will. But I will say this. It's a rigged system. It's a crooked system. It's 100% crooked.
Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. Kennedy heading inbound, slowing down between the O'Hare Extension and Canfield. Also tap the brakes between Lawrence and the Junction, but it's pretty heavy between the Junction and the Circle. O'Hare to downtown, 36 minutes. From the Junction takes 24. The outbound lane's heavy between Fullerton and Harlem. Downtown to the Junction, 19 to O'Hare, 36. Express lanes are about 15 minutes. Outbound on the Eisenhower, post office to Mannheim is 43 minutes. Out to Thorndale takes just under an hour. Stevenson heading outbound, Lakeshore Drive to the Tri-State, 31. Out to 355 takes 41 minutes. On the Dan Ryan, heading outbound between 87th and 95th. It's heavy because of a crash. It's taking out the two left lanes. Tonight, 52 and clear skies. Tomorrow, 75 and partly cloudy. Currently, it's 73 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For the past 100 years, R.B. Hayward Company has been a leader in the Chicagoland HVAC sheet metal industry. Hayward has installed ventilation systems in landmark Chicago buildings like the Field Museum and Northwestern University. In 2001, we made the decision to partner with Tandem HR. For the past 13 years, we have received expert assistance with our HR, payroll, and benefits functions. Outsourcing these functions to Tandem allows Hayward to focus on what we do best, serving our customers and growing our core business. If you're looking for an HR outsourcing expert, we encourage you to contact Tandem. If you need a heating, ventilating, air conditioning expert, give us a call, RB Hayward Company, at 847-671-0400 or on the web at haywardhvac.com.
Tandem HR serves as your one-stop high-touch HR solution. Call 630-928-0510 or visit tandemhr.com.
Great talent is the driving force behind your successful business. If you don't have the right people in key roles, then you have talent gaps. IMC Solutions identifies those gaps and delivers expertise in recruiting the right talent to fill them, leaving you free to succeed.
Hi, I'm Linda Nichols, founder of IMC Solutions. We're a niche recruiting and staffing firm that specializes in placing human resources and sales professionals. We've created programs that are just right for your small to medium-sized business because we know that you're looking for expertise, but are also looking at the bottom line expenses to your company. You can take advantage of recruiting services that big companies get, but you don't have to pay the big fees. Our programs and solutions are affordable and bring you the people you need.
IMC Solutions understands the unique challenges of your business, making the tough job of hiring easy. Get started on finding your next hire today at imcsolutions.com or call Linda Nichols at 630-637-6200.
Signature Bank is Chicago's fastest growing, independently owned business bank. Signature Bank listens to your story, learns about your business, and sticks with their customers. I'm Dan Proft, and I know this because Signature Bank is my business bank.
I'm Kevin Bestuga, co-founder of Signature Bank. As native Chicagoans, my partners and I know this city, its economy, and the challenges that small businesses face. We like to think of Signature Bank as your hometown bank. Chicagoans helping Chicagoans. We understand that banking is ultimately about people, and we build long-term, lasting relationships with our customers. We stand by our customers, and our customers stand by us, and we welcome new customers every day. We look forward to welcoming you and your business into the Signature Bank family.
Signature Bank is looking for their next success story. Learn more about turning your business vision into reality. Visit signature-bank.com. Signature Bank, helping local businesses succeed. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
AM 560, The Answer.
You know, networking is a term that's thrown around a lot, but my guess is that most people, they think they understand it, but they really, really don't. Networking, to me, I wanted to take a few minutes to define it in the world of, in the lens of Shalom Klein. Networking is about relationships. You would have asked me a few years ago what networking is. I probably would have said Facebook, social media, Twitter, LinkedIn. That is what networking means. You probably would have asked a member of my family, and they probably would have told you that networking is telephone wiring. But the honest truth is that it's neither of those things. Networking is about building relationships, finding ways to work together, and you can network in so many different ways. It's not just the cheesy, corny little after hours that you go to that, frankly, nobody wants to be a part of. Nobody wants to go to. People call me an extrovert. I'm not. I don't like going to a happy hour where I'm going to meet people that I otherwise didn't know. It's not fun for me to walk into a room with unknown people. It's fun for me to build relationships with people that I already know. So what I mean by networking is that, yes, sometimes you have to go to these events to meet new people, but networking is also re-enhancing and rebuilding the relationships with the people that you've already gotten to know. So take advantage of tools like LinkedIn. LinkedIn is just that, a tool. LinkedIn is a great way to stay in touch. Many people that I know use LinkedIn as their address book. Yes, their address book. They're getting rid of their old-fashioned Rolodex. I don't even know anybody that still has one of those. They're getting rid of their, maybe even their saving phone numbers on their iPhone. And instead, they're using LinkedIn to stay in touch because it gives them a good grasp of who they've met, when they've met them, how they know them. LinkedIn has a private feature that you could actually enter notes, and nobody other than yourself can see those notes. But LinkedIn is not a replacement for real in-person quality relationship building, and those sort of things can be done in person. There's some great websites that are out there that I want to recommend for you. There's the website of networkedchicago.com. Networkedchicago.com. It's sort of a community calendar. It was started by my good friend David Ritter, and there's so many different events posted, whether it's trade shows, educational events, networking events, or even things locally within the Skokie community, the Elk Grove Village community. Those sort of things are posted at networkchicago.com. Another great networking group and small business organization is the Small Business Advocacy Council. I encourage you to check out their website, sbacil.org, sbacil.org. That's the Small Business Advocacy Council. And aside for the advocacy that they are doing in Springfield and in Washington, they also put on some great events. And membership's really not too expensive. And they will expose you to like-minded professionals in the business community that care about the same issues that you care about. And they'll make those introductions in a helpful, low-pressure environment where people are all about relationship building. And finally, of course, I've got my events, Jewish B2B Networking. The website for that is jewishb2b.org. There are so many events on the calendar. We have literally three or four events going on every single week, not only here in Chicago, but we actually have some very vibrant groups that have launched in Washington, D.C., and cities across the Midwest like Detroit, St. Louis, Cleveland, and Milwaukee. You don't want to miss out on those. jewishb2b.org. And I post a lot of the events that I find intriguing and interesting on my website, shalomklein.com. Shameless plug, that's the website. We could also find out who's going to be on every week on Get Down to Business and download podcasts from the show. I post tons of networking tips and advice over there, but I want to share an example of how networking has been helpful to me. I live in Skokie. Many of you know that. I live in Skokie, very involved in the Skokie business community, and I was appointed by the mayor to chair the Village of Skokie's Economic Development Commission. That's a position that I was appointed to because I care deeply about my community. It's a position that I'm doing as a volunteer, but let me be very clear, in a very selfish way, I've made some introductions and made some contacts with people that I otherwise would have never had the opportunity to meet. As an example, the president of our local hospital, she sits on my commission. She's somebody I probably would have never been able to build a relationship with had it not been for getting involved in volunteering locally. The senior vice president of Westfield Mall that's in Skokie, great contact, great person to get to know. I would have never met him if not for getting involved in volunteering. So once again, networking is not just the happy hours and the things that take place in a strange way, in an awkward way. And I'm telling you this as Mr. Networker, I don't like going to those things. So find events that work for you, that work with your personality, that work with the type of networking you want to do. Let's say you love dogs like I do. Get involved in the Anti-Cruelty Society, the Humane Society. Get involved. Volunteer. You'll meet people that you otherwise would have never had the opportunity to meet. You'll meet people that share like-minded interests, people that care about the same things that you care about. And trust me, it will work. You will be able to find ways to work together with these people and give it a try. Take advantage of the tools like LinkedIn, like social media. I talk about that all the time. You need to be on social media. You need to use it smartly, meaning don't post inappropriate content. But LinkedIn and all the other tools in the world, they are just that. They're just tools. They're not replacements for the networking that you can do. Again, the websites that I mentioned are networkedchicago.com, the Small Business Advocacy Council, SBACIL.org, JewishB2B.org, and finally, a compilation of these events are always posted on my website, ShalomKlein.com. Once again, that's the website where you can download podcasts from Get Down to Business, find out who's going to be on next week, the show that's all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. And speaking of tips and advice, I've got a lot more for you after the break. So Chicago, don't touch that dial. Get Down to Business is powered by Tandem HR, your solution center. You can find them at TandemHR.com. Or give them a call, 630-928-0510, 630-928-0510, or check them out, tandemhr.com. Don't touch that dial. Lots more after the break.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss. We'll look at the roadways. Solid delays on the Jane Addams heading eastbound between Roselle and Route 53 because of a crash. On the Kennedy heading inbound, it's a little slow between the junction and the Burns Circle interchange. O'Hare to downtown, 32 minutes from the junction takes 21. Outbound lanes, a rough ride between Damon and Harlem. Downtown to the junction is 22 minutes. To O'Hare, 39. Express lanes are at about 17. Outbound Eisenhower, post ops to Mannheim is 34 minutes. To Thorndale takes 47. And the outbound Stevenson from Lakeshore Drive to the Tri-State, 32 to 355 takes 42 minutes. Dan Ryan heading outbound. Heavy delays between 75th and 95th. That's because of a crash taking out the two left lanes. Tonight, 52 in clear skies. Tomorrow, 75 and partly cloudy. Currently, it's 73 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560. The answer.
How big is your retirement shortfall? Will your money last as long as you do? How will inflation impact your retirement? How will taxes affect your income and cash flow? These are the questions that keep millions of Americans just like you up at night. Begin your journey towards financial freedom and view their comprehensive retirement planning seminar on demand, 24 hours a day. Visit EverettWealthSolutions.com and see why so many people are calling this a life-changing experience for their retirement plans. That's EverettWealthSolutions.com.
I'm Pete Sikorsky, COO of Get Fresh Produce, where restaurants, grocery stores, and other food suppliers can take their pick of local, seasonal, and specialty produce. At Get Fresh Produce, our fresh thinking lets us work more efficiently and creatively so we can focus on customer needs. That's why it was an easy choice to partner with Tandem HR, who handles all aspects of our human resources.
Tandem HR serves as your one-stop high-touch HR solution. Call 630-928-0510 or visit TandemHR.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
AM 560, The Answer.
Get Down to Business is powered by our good friends at Tandem HR, your solution center. You can give them a call at 630-928-0510 to find out why they are our solution center, or visit them online, TandemHR.com. So I've got some tips, networking tips, LinkedIn tips for folks that might be in the job search. I want you to make sure you do complete your profile. Experts suggest that writing your profile in a way that demonstrates value is important. You should include a photo. People from the past have contacted me, but if I can't see them, or if they haven't filled in their jobs or education, it's quite possible I won't know who they are. So make sure, if you're going to be on social media, make sure you have a complete profile. And you do want to make your profile unique. Liz Ryan, a former Fortune 500 human resource executive and the leader of AskLizRyan.com, advises using the LinkedIn profile to create a strong personal brand. We see way too many results-oriented professionals with a bottom-line orientation, so use your profile to tell us more about what makes you tick and what sorts of business situations you're looking for. You do want to write a headline. Liz Ryan, who I mentioned before, is on AskLizRyan.com, a great tool and resource, by the way, adds that the headline field under the name is an important but often overlooked branding tool. You want to put a human voice in it. You don't need to put your current title in that headline field. You want to tell people that you're a working person, B2B trade show marketer, interested in the intersection of social media, content, and trade shows is a lot more interesting than trade show manager at XYZ Plastics. You do want to ask for recommendations. Well-written recommendations can be a strong selling point, but use this feature judiciously. Recommendations make sense only when they come from someone you've worked for. For example, friends who say you're great don't have as much weight on LinkedIn, so you want to be smart about taking advantage of the various sections on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is constantly tweaking and changing how they do things, so you have to stay up to date. Just because you have an updated profile a year or two ago doesn't mean it's going to work today. You do want to take advantage of groups and advanced features. Being active in LinkedIn groups is a great way to find connections and build your brand. And I think that LinkedIn groups are a virtual industry conference. Yes, a virtual industry conference, because it allows you to engage with people you otherwise would have never had the opportunity to meet. Very similar to a trade show that you might go to in person at the McCormick Place. You do want to give. You don't start asking out of the blue for favors. You want to approach any network, including